It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
With us right now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Jim, good to be on with you.
Always great to chat with you. Of course, all the spring game this Saturday, 1 o'clock, right here on the Team Sports Network. But for you, Mark, it's a little bit slower time of the year for you, but still getting ready for that spring game. Before we talk about that, though, we need to bring up Trevor Baskin, who played here in Grand Junction, Colorado Mesa University, who has signed with Tad Boyle to play for the Buffaloes. Yeah, like I texted you the other day, getting a really good young man and a heck of a talented basketball player in Trevor Baskin.
Well, you know, I've got kind of mixed emotions about things because it's obviously we know what kind of player he is. You just attested to that. And it's great to see him coming to the Buffaloes. I hate to see him leaving where he had such great success, but that's part of college basketball right now. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, a local kid who has turned into a heck of a basketball player. Tad's been in need, and so you find a, you know, what is he, 6'8", 6'9", and a highly skilled kid. So I'm looking forward to seeing him wearing the black and gold.
Yeah, I think probably a good comp is Tristan Da Silva. Kind of the way Trevor plays is, I think, kind of comparable to what we saw with Tristan.
Yeah, I think, you know, and from what I've seen, I've just seen a few highlights at this point, and I went when I saw that he was coming this direction, I went and looked him up and saw some, you know, highlight reels on YouTube, and he looks like a very skilled guy, and you know, if you're going to put him in the category of Tristan, that's some pretty high praise, and so I can't wait to see him, you know, get there. And you know, Jim, it's just interesting what's going on with college sports right now, and I was on a show in New York yesterday, and but they called me about a couple of Colorado guys going to Syracuse, and so they called to talk to me about that. And I said, you know, I love the games right now. I'm not a big fan of the sport right now, and it's crazy what's going on, but it's where we're at, and we'll see where it goes from here, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And like you said, if Trevor's going to go someplace, at least I'm glad he's going someplace where it's part of the Colorado family with going over to play for the Buffs. And, of course, you get a chance to call his games. I'm thrilled for him. Like I said, it's very bittersweet because we hate to lose a player of his talent here at Colorado Mesa. But certainly,
well, that's the problem with all of this, and that's what bothers me, is that, you know, you see programs that, you know, maybe at a lower level, so guys are trying to jump up, and they have a great player, and they see him develop, they see him mature and grow up. And then when you get to the very end of it, you're going to see the best basketball. All of a sudden, they jump and go someplace else, and that's just it. It bothers me on a number of different fronts. And maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'm, you know, yearning too much for days gone by. But it doesn't seem right. And you know, I'm not opposed to anybody trying to better themselves. That's not what this is about. But there is loyalties that do come, you know, from growth and from time and from support. And sometimes I get a little melancholy thinking about that kind of thing, because, you know, they're great players, are fun to watch, and fans watch them grow up, and you should get to see that come to fruition, and that's not the case we see in college basketball anymore.
Yeah, I think the one concern that I hear from coaches at the D2 level is that D2 is now, Mark, becoming JUCO. It's becoming like a junior college.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you can say that about low level Division Ones as well.
Very true.
You know, here you as a staff, you go out and you're trying to evaluate and you're projecting, and so you see a kid and you say, okay, boy, he might be raw right now, and he's going to grow a little bit, he's going to get stronger, we think, and then you develop him to what you thought he could be, and then bam, it's gone, and now you're left on the back end of that trying to fill that hole and figure things out again, and it's just. And so it's, you know, that old line we've all heard, the rich keep getting richer. Well, what they're doing now, these bigger programs are going down and plucking these guys, and it's, you know, the kids are jumping to the portal. I mean, they're not going out and stealing them. They're jumping to the portal looking for opportunity. And so it's a sad state of affairs in college athletics right now that I struggle greatly with. And, you know, and then I get a kick out of, you know, you see, you bring guys in and you go, okay, these guys are great, and the next year they transfer out, and then you talk about how they didn't want to be part of this, and you're like, well, what's going on here, man? Well, what's the truth of all of this? And it's hard to tell.
Well, very true. And for Colorado, certainly the transfer of Dylan Edwards, who last year you know, I thought had a really good start to the season, tremendous receiving running back. The yardage wasn't great, but then Colorado was not a great running football team, but he had great skill. Dylan Edwards hitting the transfer portal, and they do get a replacement and Dallin Hayden, the running back from Ohio State. But you know, Dylan Edwards, just a few days ago, Coach Prime's talking about, boy, we want to get the ball in his hands more here in 2024. We have big plans for him. Well, those plans are now out the window because Dylan Edwards is moving on.
Yeah, and you look at these things and you just go, how is this happening? On a show a few days ago, a guy was asking about, you know, all of this. And I said, you know, there's so many different avenues to kind of look at in this issue. You've got guys that jump, they want to go get more money. Okay, Eddie Lampkin, made no secret about it, want to go see if we can get more money. So that's why he's at Syracuse. You've got guys that are being pushed out the door. You know, you've got then guys that they're trying to figure things out. They do jump, and then they end up. I saw somebody on Twitter this morning put a great line and said, the vast majority of people that jump in the portal come out in a rec league. And I have to kind of laugh at that because it's a sad part about this. So there are many different reasons it happens. But then again, if you're going to make college athletes essentially employees, and that's where this is all going, they're ultimately going to become employees, then you can get hired and fired at will. And it's destroying, and I think I've said this on your show before, this all becoming just a minor league system, professional system, does not make it more attractive. It makes it less attractive. There were their unique qualities of college athletics that made it extremely attractive and differentiated it from professional sports. And so what we're doing is destroying what made it different and making it similar but lesser. Well, it's the old line, you know, why eat hamburger when you can have steak, right? And so if all this is going to become then just a minor league, professional league, and it's not as good as the NFL or the NBA, well, then choose the NFL or NBA because it's a better quality league. And that's what bothers me about this. And listen, this is all, the bottom line in all of this, and you can go back 20 years ago when I got here and Jeremy Bloom's here and the whole fight that he had that they just kicked down a run, this is the result of an utter lack of leadership and a total failure in leadership.
Totally agree. And you know, Pandora's box has been opened, and yep. Now we're seeing the fruits of that. We're seeing the bitter fruit of all that. And I just think that when you look at, it used to be where a guy got maybe caught up in the numbers game, or maybe it ended up just not working out for whatever reason, and he would transfer. And there was the period of time of the year you'd have to sit. And now it's like, if I just don't like it, or if I feel like, hey, I had a really good season, but I can play that into an even better season with NIL money someplace else. I just feel like players should have the ability to move. Coaches have the ability to move. Players should too. But guardrails need to be put in place on this, where it's just not a constant moving, guys going in and out of the transfer portal. There's constant movement. Like you said, they're employees. They're not student athletes anymore. I'm always been for student athletes having some flexibility in their decision process. I don't think any of us are, and also some kind of compensation, whatever that may look like. But this is just absolutely out of control and insane now. And this is somebody that's been kind of a proponent of, hey, I'd like student athletes to have a little more say in what they do and where they play and those kind of things. But this is just, it's like I said, Mark, it's for those of us that, you know, are of a certain age, this is just, it's just out of hand. And we just, I don't think we ever saw this happening 20, 25 years ago.
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, in what you said in regards to, you know, coaches are able to leave. Yes and no.
True.
And there is truth to that. I was speaking at an event here a couple of weeks ago, and as I frequently do, I take questions afterward. And although it was a message, a Christian message I was delivering, guys want to talk about sports afterward. And so we opened up this conversation, and I finally said to him, I said, okay, how many, there was probably 100 guys there, and I said, how many businessmen are in here, guys that are making deals and signing contracts? Maybe half the room stood up, or raised their hand, rather. And I said, okay, who in here is willing to go into a business deal where one side has all the leverage, all the freedom, none of the responsibility? And nobody raised their hand. But see, that's what we've done. Coaches, yes, they can leave, but there's a buyout to their contract. There are penalties involved in the contract. When we have business agreements, when you break that, there has to be some sort of penalty for breaking that agreement. And that's not the way this works right now. Student-athletes can jump anytime they want, go anywhere. You know, at least in the NFL or NBA, we got free agency periods. There is no free agency period. You just go anytime.
So anytime you want to, and, that,
right.
And that's the problem.
You leave. If you get NIL money, you leave. You don't have to pay it back. There's no penalty. So there's no responsibility on one side of the equation right now, which is why this is such a disaster. So that's why the ball is quickly rolling to the point where, okay, fine, if this is the way it's going to be, then we're going to start signing contracts. And now you've got penalties. You've got response. If you're gonna act like a big boy, you better have to have penalties like a big boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're so right about that, Mark. And like I said, and you know, coaches also have the luxury if they're going someplace, they've got boosters that'll pay that buyout, and athletes at this point don't. But that's where some kind of contract needs to happen. You're right. There needs to be some kind of repercussion. If you're going to leave, this is the price you're going to pay for your freedom.
Right.
And there's I don't see anything wrong with that, or limited to you get to transfer once. That's you get your one and that's it. You get your one and that's all you get. You don't get more if you can't be Tate Martell. And let's just go from college to college to program to program.
Yes.
And you know, at some point, either make it or you don't. Either make it work where you're at or you don't. You get that one, you get your one opportunity, get your freebie, and we're done with this.
Well, yesterday when I was on in New York, they asked me, they said, should it be a red flag that Eddie Lampkin's been to 3 programs? And I said, 5 years ago, I would have said yes. Right now, that's about average.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are just jumping. I mean, you know, I did a game earlier this year where there was a guy been at 5 universities. Well, okay, you know, you're getting to the point now. Okay, we understand things aren't going to work out everywhere, but you can't tell me that 5 times in 5 years it was so bad you had to leave.
Yes.
No, what we're dealing with is the greatest example of grass is greener on the other side of the fence syndrome in the history of college athletics. I mean, this is just, it's going to be better there. It's going to be better there. Well, if you really go back, Tad and I were talking about this a while back. They began to kind of study, and their staff kind of looked at guys who were jumping, and very rarely do numbers improve or playing time improve. You are what you are. And so a guy's averaging 9 points and 7 rebounds in one spot. He goes and he's averaging 10 points and 6 rebounds. Okay, you become kind of the same player. You are what you are. And so learn to evolve and develop and make the best of your situation. Now, if there's something egregious going on, we understand that you want to get out of that. We've all been in those job situations. But this is not about that. This is just about I'm jumping for the sake of jumping.
Absolutely. And that used to never be the case. It used to be, because the penalty you had to pay was so significant of losing a year of eligibility that you had to really think about it. And like, okay, is this really the best thing that in my best interest? Is this going to work for me? Is this going to be the best decision I make? And now, with no repercussions, it's, adios. Yep. I'm off to the next program.
And we've also been overstating, you know, the direness of the student-athlete. I mean, when I'm on a show and somebody brings up, well, listen, they weren't eating mustard sandwiches and living in a box down by the river, okay? These kids are very well taken care of. I've never seen a student-athlete in all my years of doing this leave a school malnourished or weaker or smaller than when they got there. They eat exceptionally well. They're cared for exceptionally well. They've got money. They've got stipends. They're given clothing and on and on. Nobody is suffering as a student-athlete at a Power 5 school, for goodness sakes. That is not the case, and it's a lie from the pit of hell for people to be saying that over and over again. It's just not true.
Right. I mean, fair compensation's fine, but, I mean, when Caitlin Clark makes $3 million doing State Farm ads, and I mean, that's great. She's brought a lot of attention to women's college basketball. She deserves the accolades that she's accumulated over the course of an incredible season. But there's the times like $3 million for doing endorsement work as a college athlete. That would have been unheard of.
It's crazy, insane. But you know what? At least that's NIL.
That's true.
That name, image, and likeness. Contrary to what we're seeing, which is just pay for play, which is, hey, come here, we'll give you $500,000.
Which is ridiculous.
So, right. So, you know, at least what you're talking about with her is name, image, and likeness, which it was proposed that that's what it's going to be. And now it's just become, hey, which is why that court case the other day where basically it said, hey, the universities can handle NIL. Well, now we're just taking any pretense down. This is all about we're simply going to pay you to come here. And by the way, not many programs in America could do that. This is a dire, dire moment for college athletics.
Absolutely. I mean, and there's Power 5 schools. This is going to be a struggle. I mean,
enormous.
An extreme challenge to pay athletes to come and play for them. And
which is why it's going to go to revenue sharing and unionization and all that kind of stuff, and they'll become employees. Because this whole wild, wild west of let's just everyone start throwing as much money around, it's not based on merit at this point in time either. It's just based on, okay, you're there, we need you, okay, we got a bit more than that guy. Okay, they're giving us $500,000, we'll give you $600,000. And so it's really out of control.
And what if you're the backup guard on a football team that goes, yeah, well, wait a minute, this guy's getting like $450,000, and yeah, what am I getting? I'm getting nothing.
Because, right, and that's by the way, also why you're seeing guys leave programs, because they're looking around and going, okay, there are four or five guys that are making big money. I'm pretty darn good. I was first team All-Conference last year. Why am I not getting that kind of money? And so now they're jumping. And so coaches that I've talked to have said it is really, really becoming a problem within the locker room and the culture of their programs.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, with a spring game Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on the team. I guess, Mark, give us, so there's been some players hitting the portal for the Buffaloes, some players also coming in, like Deion Hayes from Pitt and Rayan Buell from Ohio, and Peyton Kirkland, who was at Texas as well, coming in on the defensive front. So there's some players coming in for Coach Prime as well. But give us kind of the lay of the land for the spring game on Saturday.
That's a great question, and I'm not even sure how to answer it, to be honest with you, because of everything you just talked about. The running back room has been decimated right now because guys are still coming in, and I think they're going to sign other guys. So I think there's going to be a little bit of thinness, if you will, in that position. For me, here's what I'm going to look at, because this whole thing is different than it used to be. We used to, you know, be able to count on 80% of the guys on the team you're going to know, and you can kind of evaluate. Now there's so much newness out there once again, it's hard to evaluate. So what am I going to look at? Okay, Pat Shurmur has now got a running start to this season, right? So I'm going to watch offense. What Shadur doing? Is that new-look offensive line? They've got a good chunk of those newcomers in there. Can they protect? Are they going to look solid in that regard? On the flip side is that defensive front. They brought in a bunch of guys there. How are they? Can they get to the quarterback? In the linebacking core, are they a little bit better there? What does Robert Livingston's defense look like? And so this is really a much broader evaluation time than it would be, you know, in past years where it's more specific. To me, I'm kind of looking at the broad strokes to see, because this is obviously a work in progress, because you're going to see more guys coming in. And by the way, wait till the spring games are all officially over, because that portal thing is going to blow up again, even though it's pretty hot right now. And so when the spring game's over, all of a sudden guys are realizing this is the position I'm in, or coaches are saying, oh, we need somebody better than this guy, so they're going to push guys out, or they're going to jump, and so that's going to explode again. But for me, it's just kind of the broad strokes of seeing what is this partially completed project look like before we get to August.
Wow, that's a lot of rosters to dig through and a lot of moving heads. And man, there's names gonna be scratched out right before the game. You have to go on your board and scratch. Well, that guy's not playing today. And it's good luck, partner.
One of the SIDs told me the other day. I said, "Can you give me a full roster now?" And he said, it's changing daily, so we're adding and subtracting. And that's not unique to Colorado. It's everywhere. And so, yeah, we'll see who shows up and what kind of roster they give us that morning, and we'll figure it out when we hit the air, I guess.
We know that you'll be there, and Gary will be there, right? So we know that much.
Gary and Soup are going to be there. And so we got Jeff Campbell, Gary, and yours truly. And by the way, it's supposed to have, I saw yesterday, last night, it said 100% chance of rain on Saturday.
Wow. Have a great weekend, Mark. Have fun with that.
Oh, well, Soup was going to be on the sideline. I ran into him in a grocery store last night, and he's like, can I come sit in the booth? I said, yeah, if it's pouring, come up and sit in the booth, because you're not going to do anything down there anyway.
Yeah, so. Just come over here and hang out with us. Just stay up there where it's warm.
So anyway, it's going to be an adventure, so join us from 1 to 3 on Saturday.
All right, very good. Hey, Mark, have a great weekend. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right, Jim, see you.
All right, take care. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes.